presence tonight. We thank you and honor you and bless you in this place. You are so good to us. And Father, we really can't tell it all. We're just so grateful to you. You've saved us from a devil's hell. You've changed our life. Our destiny has changed. Eternity has begun on the inside of us and is also our future. Father, we're so glad. We thank you for your presence. The Bible says the mountains melted like wax in the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like being in your presence. There's joy, joy forevermore in the presence of the Lord. There's fullness of joy in your presence. So we thank you tonight that you are here. Hallelujah. In the midst of your people, in the midst of your church, the Lord our God in the midst of us, he's a mighty God. Those watching, listening some other way, you're right there in the midst of them. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us. You said in your word, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we confidently say, the Lord's my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Father, thank you for your presence, for your never-ending presence. As we approach the word tonight, Father, we do so with a holiness and a reverence. So glad, so thankful, so privileged, Father. Just thank you. Just humbled to be able to share the word tonight from the greatest book that there's ever been written, the mighty, mighty word of God. Your word is just dripping with anointing tonight. Your word is just dripping with answers. People have questions tonight. Your word's got the answer. Thank you, Father God. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive, quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. There's nothing like your word. We hunger for your word tonight. And we thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost, our helper in this place tonight. Thank you. You help all of us. You are our helper within and upon. Thank you, Father God, for unction, for utterance. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost who reveals truth, reveals the mighty word. And so we thank you for speaking to your people. Speak a word to everybody listening tonight. However they're listening, however they're watching, speak a word into every heart, into every life. Penetrate the atmosphere from which people listen, from which people hear. Speak a word to every heart, into every situation, every circumstance represented. Speak a mighty word to your people, Father God. We release you to do that. Not only that, Father, where you tell us to change, we'll change. Where you tell us to make adjustments, we'll adjust. Where you tell us to be encouraged, we'll be encouraged. Strengthened, we'll be strengthened. Father, whatever you say, we will do and follow. We thank you for all that you're heart has wrought for us tonight. Thank you again for our pastors, all who are with them. Thank you for blessing them, all going on now. And now we give you the glory for everything that shall be done in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many glad just to be in the house of God tonight? How many was glad when they said, let's go to the house of God? God got something good for me tonight. Amen. Well, you're not going to be disappointed. If you have your Bible in your heart or in your hand or on your phone, you can have your seat. Praise God. The Lord is so good tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about tonight the power of your appreciation. Look at somebody and tell them there's power in your appreciation. Yeah. Our title tonight, the power of your appreciation. And let me just say, we're all always gratified to just help Pastor in any way we can. So when we pinch hit for him, we're just always glad to fill in till he gets back. But tonight, the Lord laid this message on our heart. And my son, oftentimes we'd trade videos back and forth, funny videos. And my son Steven sent me just the funniest video. I don't know. Had to be several months ago he sent me this little short video. It has to do with appreciation. So watch real close. It's only about 30 seconds. So watch real close and listen real good. Little boy cracks me up. I think I laugh just as hard every time I see it. I don't know what he wanted for his birthday, but he got underwear and socks. And
said, I don't want this. Trash. Y'all always buying me something I don't want.
There wasn't an ounce of appreciation in that kid. And sometimes I wonder if the Lord looks at us like that, looking for our appreciation. Because you and I, we have so much to be grateful. I'm going to say it again. You have so much to be grateful. We have so much to be grateful. God has done so much. We live in a culture and a life, in our culture here, that's increasingly ungrateful. And everywhere you look, you see evidence of that. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's start there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible said it would be this way in the last days, that people would in fact be so unthankful, so ungrateful. And everywhere you look in our culture, there is just such ingratitude, just such unthankfulness. And it's been crept in the church now. We used to be able to say that about people in the world, but now it's just been crept in the church. People just so ungrateful. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, about verse 1, Paul said this. Thank you, Lord, for blessing your word. He said, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. How many know we're living in these last days? For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Now look, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. You notice in there, he said, in the last days, one characteristic of these last days is that men would be ungrateful. And look around in our culture and you can see, as I say, you can see evidence. People are struggling just to show their thanksgiving. But let me say this to you, being thankful is an important aspect of faith. And without thanksgiving, you won't be able to keep what faith, whatever faith brought to your door, without thanksgiving, you won't be able to keep it. And what we're talking about tonight is not just a Christmas or a Thanksgiving subject. We're talking about a faith subject. Thanksgiving is an important element, an important aspect of our faith. Amen. Go to Luke 17. Luke 17, that famous story that Jesus told, no doubt you've read many times. Luke 17, and then at verse 11. Jesus told a powerful story of thanksgiving as he noticed how unthankful people can be sometimes. Verse 11, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. They raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw him, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go, for your faith has made you well. Even in this story that we've read so many times, the moral that Jesus is wanting to bring across is that so often after God does things for you and I, we forget. And let me tell you this, what we soon forget, we take for granted. I said, I wish I had one amen there. Whether it's people or whatever it is, what we forget, what we easily forget, we eventually take for granted. You may be living in the household with somebody who feels like you've taken them for granted. And your thank you and your true earnest expression of appreciation could go a long way. And even as it concerns, you know, Thanksgiving, I said it's a subject that is apropos to healing. It is a subject that is apropos to every aspect of faith. Somebody said, well, it's a subject that's apropos to prosper. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can't walk really in the blessings of God the way that he wants you to, the way that he has destined you to, and not be grateful and not examine the thanksgiving in your heart. Sometimes we're just so ungrateful. And God warned Israel. He was just about to bring them into that land that he had promised them, land flowing with milk and honey. And God was running down all the benefits of the land. And he gave them a stark warning that is little quoted today. We quote everything around it, but we don't quote the warning that God gave Israel. And verse 10, let's start at verse 10. I said 11, verse 10. We're in Deuteronomy 6:10. And then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham and Isaac, to Jacob, to give to you great and splendid cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards with olive trees which you did not plant. And you eat, listen, and you eat and are satisfied. Verse 12, then watch yourself. Everybody say, watch yourself. Watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who bought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. God said, you better watch yourself. When I bless you, you better watch yourself. Watch your life. Don't let ingratitude get a hold of you. When I have blessed you over and over again, and sometimes people say, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you gimme. Sometimes we approach God with what have you done for me lately? I know you're a good God, but what have you done lately? We better remember what the Lord has done. I said he bought you from a mighty long way. You looking all good tonight, but God know where he bought you from. He saw you one day with your hair messed up and your makeup all shot on a bended knee crying. And he bought you from a mighty long way. I said you better remember where he bought you from. Sometimes we can be so ungrateful. We look around and have so much, and yet we act as if we have so little. Look over in chapter 8. You're in Deuteronomy 6. Just flip over one chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Everybody say, watch yourself. We better watch. We better watch our level of thanksgiving, our level of appreciation to God. He has done more for you and I than we give him credit for. And sometimes we always focusing on what we need or what hadn't happened yet instead of focusing on what the Lord has done. And over in Deuteronomy and chapter 8 and then at verse 7, it said, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and springs flowing forth in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything. It's God talking. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you, listen, verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And beware that you do not forget your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command you today. Otherwise, verse 12, listen now. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart become proud and you forget the Lord your God who bought you up out of the land of Egypt. God told Israel, you better watch yourself. He told them, listen, prosperity is my will for you. But your thanksgiving, your appreciation, your continual acknowledgement is also my will for you. And I said, whatever faith will bring to your door, you can't keep that without appreciation and thanksgiving. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. You may be walking, you're the healed of the Lord. You know, the Lord our God, he's the God who heals us. He's our healer. But let me tell you this. Oftentimes the enemy will trick people and by default, people stop thanking God for something he's already given them. And that's a good way to let the enemy rob you. I said, the moment you turn off the faucet of thanksgiving, the moment you turn off the faucet of appreciation, the enemy will start robbing you the moment you do that. Israel did that. God delivered them. God delivered them across the Red Sea. They barely got across on the other side. And you know what? They were so ungrateful. They started grumbling and complaining. And you show me somebody grumbling and complaining, I'll show you somebody who's lost sight of appreciation and thanksgiving. I said, amen. It's like the grandfather whose grandson rubbed Limburger cheese on his nose and he woke up from a nap and said, it stinks in this room. Went in the kitchen, said, it stinks in here. Went out on the porch, took a deep breath and said, the whole world stinks. Your level of appreciation, your level of thanksgiving may be defining your outlook and how you see things in the world. And it doesn't matter who we are. We all like to feel appreciated. You know, nationwide surveys every year at the top of the list when they survey employees and say, what do you want from your employer? At the top of the list, national surveys, every single year. You know what it is? Appreciation for a job well done. Right under that, people say money. They want more money. But above money, employees say in national surveys, we want appreciation. We want to feel appreciated for a job well done. And you can go a long way giving someone a sincere appreciation. And sometimes someone has labored to cook and labored to make a meal, and then somebody sit down so ungrateful. They better be glad they didn't grow up around my mama. Because ingratitude led to hunger pains. It's usually what followed any ingratitude. You better believe we ain't about to walk in the house and say, what is that? What we having? What'd you make that for? Now, I was never a big fan of liver. My mama would make liver sometime. And I know some people like liver, and God bless you if you like liver. That's all right. I'm not mad at you. You go ahead, have your liver with your bad self. Add some onions to it, however you fix that up. But liver was never my thing. But if mama made liver, you know what I ate? I ate liver. With a thankful heart. I said, amen. And sometimes we lose sight. We lose sight of what God is doing. It's so, and that's one reason that people have a problem with Thanksgiving, because they're looking at the wrong thing. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Your lack of appreciation, your lack of thanksgiving could be keeping the Lord from doing something that he wants to do in your life. Let me say it this way. Your ingratitude could be quenching the Spirit of God from doing certain things in your life. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It warrants going to verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12. That's why, you know, we all, staff, want to thank you for how you've helped and contributed as Pastor Hagin's birthday comes. And your church, you always do such a great job. And we all want to do the same thing, honor our pastors, and y'all have hit it out the park, everything. You know, so we appreciate all that you do. And this scripture just highlights that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Well, there's nobody fits that bill more than the Hagins. And that you esteem them very highly in their love because of their work. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays another evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Now listen, verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Finally, verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Notice he says, do not quench the spirit right after he says, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Right after that, he talks about thanksgiving, he says, don't quench the spirit. In other words, there's many things that can quench the spirit, but one of the things that will definitely quench the spirit is when we lose our sense of appreciation, when we lose our sense of thanksgiving to God, when we lose our sense of remembering what God has done for us and how much the Lord has given unto us. When we lose that sense of appreciation, let me tell you, that's a time when you can quench the spirit if you're not careful. Your lack of thanksgiving will quench, your complaining will quench the spirit. And so it's so very important that we have our eyes centered in the right place and looking at the right thing. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're talking about the power of your appreciation tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What are you saying, preacher? What are you saying right now? What point are you making? Well, what you're looking at will affect your level of thanks, whether you can really be thankful or not. If you're having trouble being thankful, you may not be looking at the right thing, is what I'm saying. You may have to shift your focus. You're going to have to break your focus off of whatever you're looking at and change your focus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing in us a continual complaining spirit. No, wait, I'm sorry. I thought that I read that wrong. The light was bad. I'm sorry. 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look, listen now, while we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If you can see your circumstance from an eternal perspective, it'll cause you to lift a hallelujah to God. If you could see your life and what you're going through right now from God's eyes, it'll cause you to pat your foot and say, thank you, Jesus. Thanksgiving is so powerful. They say about the great preacher George Mueller, the 1800s, he had all of those orphanages. And one orphanage, he had 300 children. And on one particular day, they were hungry. They had no food left to feed the children. And it is recorded in the diaries that were written. It said, just to quote part of a book, it says, the children are dressed. The housekeeper comes down and tells George Mueller. She's trying to tell him they don't have any food. They got 300 kids to feed. She says this. She says, the children are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. And George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. Now, that's crazy. You see what happened there? The house mother come down and say, the children are all dressed for school. They're ready for school, but they got nothing to eat. And he said, take them to the dining room and have them sit down. Now, that's either crazy or this preacher, this brother knew something about thanking God and the power of appreciation, the power to tell God thank you no matter what you see with your natural eyes in front of you, no matter what you're feeling with your natural emotions that may be running through your mind and through your body. But to be able to show that appreciation to God in spite of what you see. I wish I had one amen. And so the story goes, and so he said, George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide for the children as he always did. Listen, within minutes, a baker knocked at the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I'll bring it in. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil. He said the milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled as the milkman bought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough to feed 300 thirsty children. I wish I had one amen in here. E.V. Hill, he's one of my favorite preachers, going on to heaven now. E.V. Hill said, my mama used to call God the midnight rider. He said, because how we made our money, he said, we picked cotton and shook peanuts and we held on by faith. We didn't have anything. And he said, oftentimes we would find ourselves with no food in the house. He said, but I could hear my mama on her knees saying, Lord, you've always provided for us. Lord, thank you because you've always come through. Lord, thank you. You didn't forget about us. And he said, then I'd hear my mama say, Lord, you're my midnight rider because you always come through. In the clutch, you're always there. You're right. He said, we didn't have nothing to eat. And he said, we would open the door in the morning. There'd be bags of groceries sitting there somehow. And he said, that's why my mama called him the midnight rider. Because somebody rode through there at midnight and dropped them groceries off. while his mama was thanking God from her knees. I said, it really doesn't matter what you're going through. That's not the indication of what God can do for you. And especially when you're going through a tough time, especially when you find it a little tough, that's the time to reach out and tell him thank you. That's the time to not let Satan rob you of your thanksgiving to God. That's the time to lift up a hallelujah. Tell the Lord, David said, I was young, but now I'm old. And yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen their seed begging bread. So thank you, because I know that you're going to come through. Hey, it doesn't matter what it looks like tonight. Our God can do it. Our God will do it. He's not only able, he's willing. Woo! I said, I wish I had one amen. He's willing. And if we'll show our appreciation, if you'll start in your apartment, you may be walking around saying, I don't want to be in an apartment. I want to be in a house. Stop all that complaining. Lift your hand to God and begin to thank him. Hey, it won't be long. The Lord will see you right on through. I said, he'll bring you right on through. I remember a day when I was driving a car and my car had the glory cloud that followed it. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the glory cloud? It wasn't the holy cloud. It was exhaust fumes. The turbocharger had blown, and I didn't have no money to fix it. And I remember, when I come to church, I park way on the backside because I was so embarrassed to drive that thing. And my kids said, Dad, when you pull off, the cloud just following you. I said, it's the glory cloud. No, I think, and then I started thinking, you know, I'm glad I got a car. It's been maybe blowing out smoke, but I'm glad I got a car to drive. Because if you ain't never had to stand at a bus stop and catch a bus, then you don't know what I'm talking about. I said, I wish I had one amen. I've had to stand at the bus stop and wait to see when the bus coming. And I never forget Richmond, Virginia, 1982. I didn't have a car. Had exhausted all my funds renting a car. I'm a new campus minister. I don't have a car. I rented a car as long as I could, and then I was catching the bus to campus, catching the bus everywhere I was going. I knew people's names at the bus stop. We were good friends. And I never forget this man. He saw me at a Christian fellowship, and he said, you Bill Ray? I said, yeah. And he said, I heard that you don't have a car. I said, I don't. And he said, well, if you're not too proud. I said, I'm not. Now, that would have knocked some people off the boat right there. Because some people trying to put conditions on everything God do for them. You can't get no amen when you talk like that, but it's true anyway. Stop trying to put God in a box. Just start thanking him. I said, thank him. I said, he put bread on your table. You ought to thank him. He said, if you're not too proud, he said, I got this was not, it was not 1982, it was 1983. He said, I got a car. He said, it's a Ford. I said, okay. He said, it's a Ford Falcon. I said, okay. He said, it's a 63 Ford Falcon. You know what I thought about? A 61 Ford Falcon is going to beat what I'm doing at the bus stop. Anything, a skateboard going to beat what I'm doing at the bus stop. He said, it's a 63 Falcon. I said, I'll take it. He said, it's up there at the shop. All you got to do is go and tell the man, give the man your name. He said, I thought you might want it. He said, I had some work done on it. And so I went and got that 63 Falcon. It was two-tone, blue and rust. Had a big old steering wheel, but I was thanking God, boy. I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You had to turn for days. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all get out the way. Me and that Falcon, boy. And that Falcon was tricky. It could wear you out. You know, it had little, you know, antics to it. You had to know it. Once I got to know the car, it was just like, you know, we had some fellowship, me and the car. I got back late from a student retreat, and I got back to Norfolk, Virginia late. And I think I got back to Norfolk about midnight. I lived up in Richmond, and that was a pretty good drive. And so, anyway, it's about 1:30 in the morning. I'm just coming into the city limits in Richmond. And these two nice police officers pulled me over to give me a ticket. And they said, we followed you from the highway on the side streets, and your car, the blinker doesn't work. and we're going to have to issue you a citation. And I said, no, sir, the blinker works. He said, no, it does not work. And I said, no, sir, that blinker works just fine. He said, we've been following you for miles, and we know the blinker doesn't work. He said, no, I don't have to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. He said, whatever the guy's name was. He said, Joe, go back there and get behind the blinker and look at it. Now, my Falcon, for the blinker to work, you had to have your foot on the brake. If your foot wasn't on that brake, that blinker didn't blink. But if you put your foot on that brake, then it go blink, 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 blink. He said, get back there, Joe, and look. Then he's getting ready to write me a citation. So he went back there and looked. I put my foot on the brake. I said, blank, 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 blank. They came back to the front of the car. He said, get out of here. I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You ought to be thankful. I remember we had to go up to the mountains of North Carolina. We were going to a student retreat up there. We know us campus ministers, our students go up there, and then we meet them up there, have a week of meetings. We're headed up to the mountains up there near Black Mountain, where Billy Graham was from, up there. I mean, it's really beautiful. But and my Falcon had two speeds to it. It would jerk you into second gear. So it would go real high on the revs on first gear. My friends always said they was going to sue me because I gave them whiplash every time we went somewhere. I was the brunt of every whiplash joke. I said, oh, Lord, here it comes. But me and another campus minister, Lewis had a beautiful Jetta, silver Jetta with a red leather interior. But his wife had to have the car that day because Lewis had been planning to drive. And the night before, Lewis called me and said, Bill, we just can't figure it out. My wife's got to have the car. And I could tell he had really prayed about this. In anguish. He said, could we drive your car? I said, oh, sure, we can drive it. Thank you. We headed up to Black Hill. Oh, man, we headed up the hills. That car was a... Finally, that thing overheated. And we had to pull over to the stop of the road. Just a flume of smoke would run out the thing. And there was me and Lewis. Lewis said, what do we do now? I said, we're just going to have to let it cool off. He said, we're going to need water. Where are we going to get water from? I said, well, let's just pray. We'll just talk to the Lord. Help us, Lord, help us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for my car. Thank you, Lord. This is true. Just within a few minutes of that prayer, we saw a man making his way down the mountain. He's carrying some kind of jug. And as he got closer, we could see, it looked like he's carrying water. He headed right for us. Ain't nobody else around us. He coming right to us. And he bought us that water. He said, I saw y'all from the mountain. He said, I saw your car steaming, thought I'd bring you some water. We let that car cool off for an hour, filled up with water, and kept on going. Hallelujah. Thank you for my Falcon. The day came when God blessed me with better. I had better, and I was grateful. But I'll never forget the days of that Falcon. And you ought not ever forget what God has done for you. Father, we've endeavored in these few minutes to speak on the power of appreciation. And I know that you're reminding people right now of your goodness to them, time and then time again. You brought them through again and again. When it looked like they was going under for the last time, Father God, you brought them through again. And so we thank you for being such a good God. And we express our joy, our thanksgiving, and our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, tonight, if you need someone to pray with you, you want someone to agree with you, that's what these men and women are down here for. Come on down here and they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you're here tonight, it was your first time with us. We are so glad you came. And what Pastor Tad was talking about, that good gift, we're going to give it to you now. The Connection Team members are moving. That's the same people who came to you initially. They're coming back. They're going to take you to a place and give you the gift. They're not going to hold you long. Just enough to thank you for coming and give you a nice gift. And remember, this week, be thankful, even with your boss, with your employer, with your enemy, whoever you think that, be thankful. And as our friends here now, this first-time guest leave, can we thank them for coming? Let's show our appreciation, our love for them. We thank you for coming. We really do. Really just glad that you came. Again, if you need agreement in prayer, don't leave. Out that would come forward and let these folks pray for you, and you won't leave like you came in Jesus' name. You'll be right here Sunday morning. Pastor Hagin will be bringing a mighty, mighty word. You'll be blessed. God bless you. You're dismissed.